This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. How about Baker basketball, by the way? Round of 16 game in the NIAA tournament tonight against 7-seed Oklahoma Wesleyan at a municipal auditorium. So best of luck to Baker tonight.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. Look like you're still trying to... Were you finishing a chip?
Sorry.
Yeah. You're all right.
I was scarfing down some
food. We each got a taco for lunch. Yeah. You ate a taco and some rice, maybe. Yeah. Our friends at Tequila Harry's brought us some. It was nice.
Yeah, sorry. My
nice apologies. People.
Need a drink a little.
You know, I've never eaten there before. They fed everybody. NCAA tournament time is a good time to eat. I'm not going to lie about that. So I appreciate it. Tell them thank you. I think you guys are boys, so, you know.
Absolutely.
Make sure he knows. Next up on Watch Training, KU and MU, since you're drinking your water. KU and MU both eliminated. You know that's the number one trending thing.
Wasn't a dream. That did happen.
No, that happened. We're going to talk more about it here in a couple of minutes. Both made a second half comeback to take the lead against their respective opponents just to fall apart there at the end. Both will make it a one and done in the NCAA tournament and kind of reset from there.
Elsewhere locally, I want to make sure we give a little shout out to some high school hoops. We don't do that, but when you win a state championship, we'll go ahead and do that.
Oak
Park won the Class 6A state championship for Missouri last night. Yeah, congratulations.
Their first ever.
Oak Park. We were talking a ton about local basketball, man. What Drake's doing with some local kids. What Loyal Chicago did a couple years, local kids. There's some like really high level basketball in the area. I remember yesterday or 2 days ago, Kelvin Sampson, who's in Wichita right now, and the Houston Cougars are doing well. He was just talking about, he's like, no, Kansas, and this, I know we're talking about Kansas City, but he said even the state of Kansas, it's not just a great D1 basketball state, but there's a lot of quality talent at the community college level, and that eventually ultimately transfers up to the D1 level. So there's plenty of talent around Kansas City.
That's where my kids, I'm barring, I guess, a line moving, that's where they'll go to high school. Now they can go to high school where they someone won a state championship, you know? You know, that's got to count for something.
Drew, did your high school have a state title when you were there or anything? Did you help win one?
State wrestling championships all my high school ever had, I feel like.
Ours might have been golf, maybe. I don't know.
We won state football when I was there. Football was really good. Basketball was getting good. Hadn't quite gotten to be as good as they were when Kyle Guy was the guy.
That is your guy.
He is my guy. That was a couple years ahead. I was a couple years ahead of Kyle.
They were a great baseball program when I was there in the early part there at Winnetonka there for a little bit. Next up on What's Trending, NCAA scores right now. Baylor's got a 33-30 edge over Mississippi. 2:48 left to go in that first half. Alabama up now 10 on Robert Morris. 8:23 left to go in the first half of that one. Still about 25 minutes away from the third game, Iowa State kicking off.
All right. We're in position. We're all right.
Elsewhere, real quick, you guys know at one point we brought up how baseball, more than ever, it seems like got players involved in trading cards, right? And they're what they call ripping packs. And we've talked about with MJ and Massey and other guys. Well, Paul Skeens, there was a one-of-one card that everybody was searching for. It's called a debut patch card. So if you watch any games this year, any player making a debut, so if Cags makes his debut, by the way, he'll have a jersey with a patch, and they take that patch and they put it in trading cards. It's one of one. Paul Skeens' card was found, I don't know, a month or so ago. It went to auction last night, and after a week on auction, sold for $1.1 million. For Paul Skeens, who has not even been in the big leagues for a full season yet, but he's obviously probably a future multi-time Cy Young Award winner for the Pittsburgh Pirates, including this year, we think. But $1.1 million, man. The card market is crazy.
No big and
that,
deal.
It was a kid that pulled the card.
Good, a kid. That kid's set for life now.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
And he turned down the offer from the Pirates. Remember, the Pirates offered, hey, we'll give you tickets for 30 years. We'll give you an autograph. You can sit in a suite with Libby Dunn. That was the offer. And the guy, the kid slash dad, I guess, turned it down. And it was a good decision. One, not only because they're getting $1.1 million, but those tickets you would have had paid taxes on, just like they're going to pay taxes on $1.1 million. But you would have had to pay taxes every year on the free tickets, too. So this was the correct financial path, I would say.
Getting $1.1 million, that'll do it. Lastly on What Trending, Royals opening day is officially sold out. I'm sure if you buy season tickets, you could probably get in the door.
Mm-hmm.
But officially sold out is the Royals opening day. It's supposed to be like 68 to 70 degrees that day.
Beautiful.
Less than a week away from a team that went to the playoffs last year. Makes all the sense in the world. That's What's Trending. Somebody pointed out, I didn't even realize it. The head coach of Oak Park Basketball is former Kansas Jayhawk Sherron Collins.
I forgot about that.
Oh, nice.
Forgot about that.
Number four.
So now he's a national champion and a state champion, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he got hired a couple years ago.
He got hired in 2023, and in 2 years took them to their first ever basketball state championship. Can't say they regret that hire then.
Definitely not.
Was Sherron Collins on that Chalmers team? I don't know if he played like that, but was he on that?
They defeated... Oh, sorry.
Or was he after... Mario. Eh?
No, I think he would have been
on
part
that
of
the team, right?
Yeah.
I thought so.
Blue Springs South, they defeated 68-50.
They were that's who they beat for the championship? That's who they beat to go to the state. It was like
on
some
Friday
other,
night,
like,
sorry.
Yeah, it was like some other I can't remember the name of the school, but
the championship game was last night.
Some other like some other part of the state.
Yeah, okay. I'm missing the two schools up.
Good for Sherron. 38 years old, taking Oak Park to a state championship. That's got to be fun for him. Oh, you know what? They won the state championship at Mizzou Arena.
Oh, that makes sense. That's where
but it's just kind of funny because like he's a Kansas Jayhawk.
Yeah.
He's winning the state championship at Mizzou Arena. Just funny. That's all.
Yeah. So, yeah. Sherron and Mario were part of the 08 team.
Who gets the 2025 bragging rights? Does that belong to Missouri because they both lost in the first round, but they won the head-to-head game? Does Kansas still get to play legacy card? What's the just the 1 year trash talk option between Missouri and Kansas? Who gets the upper hand on this?
Missouri
one this year?
Still does. KU,
because they won the head-to-head.
They won the head-to-head. But I was telling Carrington, we were talking off air. I think, you know, the way you look at this season at one point in time, preseason, KU was number one. Therefore, you're expected to maybe go and win a national title. And they started the season with the big wins that they had. And then very quickly, you realize this was not the same type of team that they had been in the past. And they're one and done. Missouri, no expectation coming in. Winless in conference a year ago. Then they showed all of us that they're way better than we thought. And they beat Kansas. And they start off hot in SEC play. They finish the season and the regular season even not looking great. And then they're also one and done because there was conversations in February where people actually thought they could be a three seed, that they could compete for Final Four berth. Like, honestly, those were real conversations people were having, and they're also one and done. And so both teams had crazy expectations ultimately at some point in the year, and they both failed at meeting those, and massive disappointment. Someone said they're both losers. I mean, yeah, however you want to describe it, right? It was a season that resulted both ending up in the exact same spot. I'm Kansas, the expectation is always high, but I think if we got some true serum into Carrington on this, I think it's fair to say, though, if I would have asked him in February, his emotions then, if this was the result, like today he's acting like it's not a big deal and he's Team Drake, but I'm convinced in February that he would have been absolutely just crushed, if I told him it was a first round exit.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know that there's even an argument for it. After they beat Alabama, the exact tweet I sent out, and I think the general sentiment was, this is now a team that I think should have the expectation of making the Sweet 16. Did that soften a little by the time the actual tournament hit? Did I predict them to go to the Sweet 16? No, I predicted them to lose their next game against Tech, right? I didn't think they would continue to progress into the tournament. But for what they accomplished, the amount of talent they had on the roster, the depth of the SEC, you can't be losing in the first round to a team you're favored by, I don't know, 5.5 against in Drake, a team that is like brand new into this thing. I know they're 30-3.
That's March, though. I mean, I think it's a reminder of how tough it is to win. Like, for all the, like, it's very easy for, I'll just use the locals as the example. It's very easy if you're a K-State fan or in the past a Missouri fan to watch Kansas, or for KU fans to watch another program like Kentucky. Like, how did you lose
to lose in the first round?
It's matchup based. It happens. There's pressure on you. There was no pressure on Drake. The pressure was on Missouri, even if everybody was hyping up Drake. And when you have a terrible matchup, and one style wins out over the other, in this case, it was clearly Drake's style. The game was played in the high 50s, mid 60s. Ultimately, that was going to favor Drake, and it ended up being the case, even if we thought Missouri was going to win. And I do agree with one text, and MU fans won't like it, but like someone says, it is true that Missouri's best year in how long did you say it's been?
This is as far as they've gone to the second game.
So, but they're
like two times in the last 15 years.
What was perceived for 90% of the season as being Missouri, yeah, unbelievable going year, great year, and all that. The end result is they had a slightly better season than Kansas because they beat them head to head. Like, in Kansas's worst year under Bill Self, 7 seed, yeah, it was still barely worse than what Missouri's best season was in over a decade.
They won
That's
a
all
game
I'm saying.
In the tournament 2 years ago with Dennis Gates as head coach. They won a single game in the tournament. But I mean, again, they are more likely to lose. Like, this is the problem. Like, for Missouri to take this like step forward as a program, they have to start performing in the NCAA tournament. They have more pressure on them to do it than Kansas. Kansas won a national championship less than 4 years ago. They don't have to prove something yet to the rest of college basketball. Now, look, have a fourth year in a row where you don't make it to the second weekend. Okay. Heat's on a little bit, not like to get fired, but to like figure out why your program isn't what your program was not that long ago. And look, non-Kansas people are going to be like, well, it's because he can't just pay his players now.
Right. I already saw those
and
texts.
I would say that's not even technically the problem.
They got the top guys.
They paid two of the highest priced transfers available in the market.
They were bad fits.
The problem wasn't money. The problem wasn't spending. That was not the issue for Kansas at all this year. They paid for A.J. Storr the year he came into the transfer portal was the number two ranked portal player in the portal. The year Hunter Dickinson came out was the number one ranked portal player in the portal. Every team, the other teams who were going for those players have won a national, like UConn.
Right.
And these other guys that they were going for, like multiple teams have tried for these players.
The player development is a question mark right now in the KU program.
That's the question.
The evaluating the pieces that fit out of the portal, not just the best player in the portal, is the question that they're going to have to find the answers to, and how they have to evaluate how they go about building the roster moving forward. But I can speak for, I think, majority of Kansas fans. You guys know I went to KU, that now that it actually is over, there's a majority of KU fans that are just so happy that the year is over. Of course, you won in the win last night, but now it's so happy. And it's not the same. Like, Hunter Dickinson, it was obviously a very good, very, very good college player. But boy, I'll be honest, I'm not going to miss watching him on the court. And I think I speak for the majority of fans. He's not the reason why they had the season they had. But
nobody didn't play well. We said he didn't play well, they were in
a lose. DeJuan Harris regressed at times. Hunter Dickinson made his mistakes. The flaws that he had showed up at times, and more times than it should have this season. And then you mentioned A.J. Storr. They thought they were getting a big-time scorer and a shot maker. Didn't happen. Zeke Mayo, up and down season. At times, he looked great. I can go on and on and on, right?
Like threes last night.
And for Missouri, the question for Dennis Gates is, can you win a tournament game? You're a program builder, right? Nobody's saying you can't recruit. Nobody's saying you can't build a program. Can you win the big games? And I understand they beat Kansas, but can you win the big games in the tournament. An A game, I guess I should say at this, but not A game in the NCAA tournament. And those are the questions that both programs have heading into the future, right? I think both fan bases should pump the brakes on the freak out about, oh my gosh, our coach sucks now. No, but calm down. Dennis Gates.
You shouldn't fire you shouldn't. Either.
Bill Self, same thing. Let's see how time plays out over the next year or so. You know, Kansas, their worst season was a 7 seed. Duke's worst season, Kentucky's worst seasons under their coaches at the time were missing the tournament. So let's put some perspective behind it. For MU, you were 0-16 a year ago. Problem they created, but still.
Massive. They
recovered.
Yeah.
So, like, let's. Let's not act like you both programs have terrible coaches now.
Made the tournament two out of 3 years, which is what you would take at Missouri every time. I told you every time there's a new coaching hire, I kind of reevaluate where a program is. And my judgment is always, what should 10 years of Missouri basketball look like? And for me, they're in the SEC. They're in a Power Four program. They got lots of advantages to try to recruit, as in they're not recruiting against a lot of other schools in their state. Not zero, but not like, you know, two major universities like Texas or some of these others. And I think Missouri's expectations for a new head coach should be 6 tournament appearances in 10 years and 2 Sweet 16s. And anything after that would be total gravy. Right now, they're on an okay pace with Gates, other than they're not going deep into the tournament part of it. The rest of it is accomplishing. He's getting there. He's recruiting well. My thing is that, like, last night, his plan sucked. And they got way behind because he did not have a plan to break Drake's defense. And a couple of times they got out of it and they did up and run and move the offense. And when they got into their offense in the second half to close that gap, they immediately shut it back down once they got the lead against Drake. And that cost them dearly, really dearly. And they let it snowball in a hurry. And I question him in the X's and O's department. I almost don't question Dennis Gates in almost every other area of the way he does the basketball program right now. He's done a nice job in the early going of developing and recruiting and finding the right transfer portal guys. But, like, when it comes to in-game, I'm like, you're the more talented team. Why don't you look like it more often?
But I will say, like, last night what happened was the NCAA tournament happened. You got a team contrasting styles. We talked about it all week. I thought Missouri's style went out. Obviously, so did you. That didn't happen. But it wasn't the stunner. Like, how Drake played, that's how they play. I didn't think they could do it as effectively against Missouri. They obviously did. Yesterday we went through the scores and we both said if the game's in the 80s, Missouri obviously wins. If the game's in the 60s, I don't see how Missouri wins. I didn't think the game would be in the 60s, but the fact that the game ended up in the 60s, the end result was never going to be good for the Missouri Tigers.
What happened to Kansas? Like, on the flip side, Kansas, we know what happened and they played a great first half. Two competitive teams jabbing back and forth. They got behind the eight ball because Arkansas started the second half white hot and Kansas started the opposite, but they crawled back, right? Like, look like two even teams again. Fight. I know KJ Adams got hurt.
Yeah, that sucks for him just personally.
And I'm sure that took some air out of the balloon there for a minute. And it does suck for him personally.
Because he was going to probably play a Pro Bowl overseas, and now he's going to be out for a year. It sure looks so. They didn't confirm. They said Achilles injury. It's obviously not good. He probably popped it or ruptured his Achilles.
And so, when you view it that way and the way that it's set up, I really, really do wonder how you let it unravel so quickly there if you're Kansas. They had more control of the game, in my opinion, than Missouri did in the Drake action, where
they gave the game to Arkansas with
3 minutes to go, and then they just started doing what Kansas does, fumbled around with the ball in the paint and making dumb passes to no one and passing up open looks. You're like, what happened here? You guys, you should be feeling good.
It's the story of the season, man. Yeah, I mean, it's the story of the season. The switch to zone was genius.
Arkansas had
no answer for it. It's why Kansas got back in the game and got the lead. But the same mistakes. How many times this year have we come on this show and talked about, well, they were leading late. You know, they were right there. They should have won. We said it 7-8 times, I feel like, this year.
A lot of implosions.
You know,
for Kansas,
and that was the story and why it was such a frustrating watch all year for Kansas fans. The bar is set very, very high, and Bill Self set that bar extremely high with the success that he has had. But this year was well below what you expect, and he said it. I mean, it's not some secret. That's not acceptable at Kansas. This year is not acceptable with what they are as a program, and time will tell. With where they go from here. I still think, even if you're praying and hoping for it, if you're not a Kansas fan, but I would bet quite a bit of money that they're not a 7 seed next season in the NCAA tournament.
Four or higher, if you made me guess. Yeah.
But if you gave me six or higher, I would take that bet in a heartbeat.
On even money?
That they would. I mean, this. My point is just that, I know you're not saying that, but my point is just like, I know it's, look, if I'm an MU fan, you're hoping that Kansas is going to be horrific forever now. I understand. But I think that's wishful thinking to think that Bill Self is not going to figure it out. I'm not saying they're going to win a title. I'm not saying that they're going to be a top 5 team in the country. But the idea that they're just now going to be a 7 seed every year, I think that's wishful thinking. That's all.
Yeah.
Let's get a little update in, shall we, Drew?
Score update over in the NCAA tournament. Yeah. Halftime of one, right?
Yeah, halftime with Baylor and Mississippi State. What is that, 37-32? Baylor lead on the Bulldogs. We need Mississippi State, don't we? Robert Morris, Alabama, 3:20 to go. 3:20 to go first half. Alabama, the 2 seed, up 34-29 on 15 seed Robert Morris. 3:20 to go in the half. We've got another game that's getting ready to tip off in about 9 minutes. 3 seed Iowa State taking on 14 seed Lipscomb. That's in the South region. And then at 1 o'clock, could be a fun one. 5:12 matchup. Always keep an eye on those. Colorado State and Memphis.
Colorado State's a betting favorite, right?
Yes, they are. Even money. Even money for Memphis in this game.
That always gets tempting, I'll be honest, when you think about like the performance versus seeding. But there's also a reason. Vegas does a ton of research. Yeah. And so if Colorado State's a betting favorite, even though they're 7 off of the seed line, I avoid it. I'm just like too scared of it. I don't know. Maybe that's a bad decision.
That's a little update on the NCAA tournament. Guys, according to somebody on the text line, Bill Self's no longer a Hall of Fame head coach. That's awesome logic right there. So anyway, what else is going on? I don't know.
I guess here's the question I have for the Kansas fans who are ready to just like...
No, that's from an 816 number. So my guess is that's a Missouri fan.
I mean, it could be. I think there's Kansas fans on the Missouri side.
Well, sure. It's not. There's not literally a rule that you have to be a Missouri fan if you live on the Missouri
side. I'm not living in that state.
Texas, so I can correctly identify this. I want to know whether or not you are a Missouri
fan. I'm just sorry. If your text is... Quit making excuses. Bill Self, he is not a Hall of Fame coach. I mean, that's just, I'm sorry.
Also,
not only is it factually inaccurate, like even if you were just trying to give an opinion, the fact that he had the worst year and he's now a 7 seed, now we think he can't coach? Get out of here.
I also, can I say
stupid.
That I think the single thing, the text line, and I love you, text line, but the thing you get wrong the most is quit making excuses. At what point did I excuse make for him? I didn't say KJ Adams went down and therefore I didn't say it was not Bill Self's fault that he, no, I said he did a bad job in the portal. The team was bad and they should feel bad. I didn't say there's a reason. I didn't give I gave the reasons why they're bad. The reasons and excuses are not the same thing. The reason why they were bad is they did horrible in the portal. Their seniors didn't develop. And Bill Self did not develop the talent under him. An excuse would say, this is DeJuan Harris's fault. If only he was a better player, Bill would look right. That's not it. Everyone bears the blame for the way Kansas and Missouri seasons ended. Missouri's was worse in a lot of ways for me because Kansas, I'd stopped believing they were a good team a long time ago, right?
We knew in mid-January.
Long time ago.
Earlier, honestly.
Missouri got to like the peak powers where you're like, yeah. And then you know what it felt like? It felt like a slow death for them where you're like a little bit worse, a little bit worse. Oh, the offense is a little bit worse. And you're like, oh, is it like when it looks back on it, the last month and a half for Missouri was a slow death. Kansas, I gave up on them months ago.
I mean, by the text,
it's all bad. They both lost in the first round. It was a pretty rough day.
As someone texted in, it's true. By the texters, I guess Andy Reid, because he lost in the Super Bowl, I guess he's not a Hall of Fame head coach anymore. That's the same logic you basically just threw at me.
Yeah, there was at least one person who texted in Andy should.
Well, that was also bad at that time, too.
And asking for Andy to quit. Do you know how much worse it can get than Andy Reid as a coach? Even if you're just not a non-Andy believer.
Crazy. Crazy is what it is, man.
I'd trade picks for a quarter. Rather than try to find the next head coach, I'd be willing to pay picks for a team that's like sick of their guy. Like, oh, you guys don't like Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco anymore?
Is this someone says legit question. Like, are you just trolling at this point? Someone says, do you consider Bill Self's tenure at Kansas disappointing?
What?
No.
What are we doing? What are we doing? Oh, my goodness.
I do not.
How many national titles has he won?
2.
One would be enough to say it's a success.
Kansas, depending on length, maybe not.
Disappointing. Yes, do I wish he had 4 rings because they had some really good teams that lost early in the tournament? Yeah, that's fair. Disappointing, though?
How many times has Tom Izzo won a title? 1. You would say his tenure at Michigan State has been successful.
Like, again, at Kansas, I think you can make the argument. Maybe you'd be like, what? But if he only had one, he might not still have his job. That's how it works at
Kansas.
But
he has two, right?
But so. He has two, so.
If they didn't win it back in.
Hey, would you guys say, since Andy Reid has Patrick Mahomes, is it disappointing Andy Reid tenure if he only has three Super Bowl rings? I mean, basically, we're asking the same question. My goodness.
This question will come up if they say the Chiefs lose in the divisional round. It's time for Andy to go.
Like
Mahomes might be
Rob
washed.
Parker
that's
already.
Be the
we already played the
correct.
Rob
yeah, that's right.
Who has
right.
the?
I'm done reading dumb text today. My bad.
Who? Okay, so how many did? How many did Roy have championships?
Roy
at Kansas.
He did not.
Roy Williams.
He didn't have a national championship at all. God, I thought he had won.
No, Larry Brown won.
Oh, Larry Brown. That's right. So by all accounts, Bill Self has had the single most successful tenure in Kansas basketball history as a head coach.
Yes.
How could it be disappointed?
I know.
That's fine. Unless we're counting like Fog Allen and like Ed Helms or whatever the name of those like made up trophies are that everyone claims from like the 50s. Like, unless we're counting like that run.
Yep.
It's the single most successful year in Kansas basketball history.
Right. Up next, we're going to talk some Chiefs football. A big signing last night. I think it's big because of the price, because of the type of player they're getting back. It's someone that. Some people said maybe they shouldn't even bring back. I think that would have been a mistake, and they have chosen to do so. Let's talk about his...
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Impact next. Go to 96.5thefan.com for the Fiery Hot Sevens contest where you can win a $30 instant scratch ticket. And one person will win the grand prize, a Bobby Wood Jr. autographed jersey and framing, all thanks to our friends at the Kansas Lottery. So guess who's back in a Chiefs uniform? The news came late last night. Charles Mynnihue back on a one-year, up to $7 million contract. We had been talking about a Mynnihue the last couple of weeks still as a possibility. I know he sent out some tweets and deleted them, and it upset some people. He was emotional. He obviously wanted to sign the deal that he wanted in Kansas City.
He was disappointed, obviously, in the way it was working.
And the market has shown him. The reason why he's back is that he's not worth as much as he wants to be worth. That's a tough pill to swallow. Nobody wants to hear that. But that's why he's back. That's why he's back in a Chiefs uniform, because after playing 17 games the last 2 years due to suspension / injury, teams were not willing to give him a multi-year deal, clearly. And if you're going to go sign a one-year deal somewhere, well, why wouldn't you sign it back in Kansas City, a chance to go win again? You know it works. And now he's going to be 28 at the start of the season. He's got a chance to go out there this year and play and prove. Can he play a full 17-game regular season schedule? And
he
go
does,
and
he
have
might get a decent
six,
check. Not a big one, but a decent one.
6 to 8 sacks, that range. And if he does that, maybe a multi-year deal is on the horizon for him. But I think if you're a Chiefs fan, you should love this. This is a guy that you know can work in your system, and you're paying him nothing. And if you get to $7 million, it means he has a pretty darn good season, too.
Yeah, I think if you there, I mean, I guess there's always a way to find a negative in it. I think the biggest negative you can make right now is, why are you bringing back an entire team that didn't win a Super Bowl? I'm like, oh, they did go 15-1 and get to a Super Bowl. So the team didn't stink. Also, the number of players the Chiefs were going to throw into the free agent market, they had to bring some of them back. They were going to need to return a certain number of players. That is maybe the only thing I can make an argument for, at least on the end that said, maybe you don't like this deal. Like, hey, you're running it back too much, right? There's always a flaw in this game, Gold, where you're like, hey, maybe don't repeat the exact same roster if you knew you had a fatal flaw that caused you some problems. I love the deal. This is the, out of any free agent deal they've signed the entire offseason. I don't care if it's Elijah Mitchell. I don't care if it's a left tackle and more. Doesn't matter the player. If any move they've made, I like this one the best. You're trying to tell me they got a guy I think can get 6 to 8 sacks who can play the outside most of the time for up to $7 million? That might be the best defensive line signing of the free agency. Have people seen what defensive linemen are getting paid? All I got to do is $7 million for men. Hell, Trey Hendrickson, because of the deal for Danielle Hunter, Trey Hendrickson might get $37 million a year from either Cincinnati or whatever team trades for him. So, like, the amount of money spent on defensive line between Turk Wharton deal or Javon Kinlaw or the good ones, the guys who are, like, really excellent players, is so crazy. 1 for 7 for Charles Omenihue is a perfect fit, and it doesn't even stop you from taking a defensive end in the first round and letting him play more than Omenihue. It doesn't even, like, stop you from doing the things you want to do. You can play it however you want now, but you have a safety net.
Yeah, so I think that the draft definitely allows you to go best player available more, but because he's still on a 1-year deal, like I think they're in a spot where you wouldn't be as critical if they don't draft defensive line in the first round, because for 2025 they're good to go. But if you're looking long term, that is still one of the top needs. I don't think now, maybe you guys disagree, I don't think running back now goes over defensive line in terms of need.
Defensive line is always need number one for almost any team.
Yeah, so
tackling line.
It hasn't changed that. But you can talk me into, at 31, if there's a player at a non-defensive line position that you never thought was going to be there at 31, whoever your dream guy is, you think's going at 20.
Let's say Luther Burden falls to 31.
Sure, fine. If that's
your
player,
you can take your chance.
Now I wouldn't hate it as much.
Anybody but linebacker, safety, running back. It's pretty much my list. Other than the positions they already have locked up, right? Like, I don't want them taking a center at 31, but we don't have to get into that because they have a center locked up for a million years. Other than those three positions, and maybe the right safety, maybe some superstar safety they're planning on starting right away based on their roster construction right now, doesn't really make sense. Those are just low value positions for me, in which I do not regularly enjoy spending first round picks. It can work out. I don't think the Chiefs regretted when they spent a high pick on Eric Berry. It can certainly work out, but it's just not the risk I would take very often. This opens up the possibility now of, anytime we look at the draft, if they went corner, wide receiver, offensive line, and you know what, more importantly, I've told you, I don't really like first-round picks that are developments. And I will say that the Chiefs actually do a pretty good job avoiding that, for the most part. Because the years that they have, like, developmental players, they don't have a first-round pick.
Yeah.
So their first-round picks, when you're thinking by year, most of those guys are not developmental first-round picks. Most of those guys play right away. So here's an example. Xavier Worthy, day one player, right? Pretty much started immediately. Obviously started more as the season went on. Felix Anidike is on it. Project. Karloff is day one starter. Trent McDuffie, day one starter. Yeah. No pick. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, day one starter. So they've done a better job. But now, I still will be hesitant, but if they took, let's say, an offensive tackle who maybe is a guard, maybe is a tackle,
could be the right tackle the next year,
and he's not going to start right away with the 31st overall pick, because of the Omenihue deal, I can take it. Before that, I'd have been pissed. Like, this doesn't make any sense. You don't have anyone to play defensive line. Like, it's enough of a needle mover where if they took a guard, a guy who is definitively not going to start, or at the very least is, best case scenario, competing with Kingsley Suamataia for the starting job, I can live. And if it's like, oh, it's my Juwan Taylor replacement and he's the best guy, okay, cool. I get your plan now. I now understand their plan because they touched every single weakness on the team that had to be touched in some way. They're not perfect or anything, but they worked on it.
I really don't know the downside on signing Omenihue at this point. Yeah. I mean, now that we know the dollar amount, I mean, there's no reason you shouldn't like this. None whatsoever, with reasonable expectations of what he should do, you know? And the way the offseason was going at the defensive line spot, if you just look at what I think the production they're going to get out of him, that 6 to 8 sack range for the price they're paying, it's about as good as you're going to find in the NFL.
Like, yeah, I agree. Now, see, look, the text line's saying kind of what I said. If you're making this argument, I actually think it's fair.
Okay.
From the 816, it's not the argument I would make, which is just like, hey, it's a revamp time. Like, for the people in the Chiefs, not saying that, like, Pat's not good or Andy's not good, but one of these years, they want to get us back down to the bones.
Yeah, I don't know if this signing, though,
back up.
I don't disagree, but I don't think signing a Minshew,
he's so cheap, it doesn't even feel like it stops you from doing that.
1 year, seven is them kicking the can down the road. You know what I mean? Like, I get the text. I think if it was a multi-year deal, then I would probably agree with that thought. If Hollywood Brown was back on a multi-year deal, if Charles Minnie was back on a multi-year deal, if Kareem Hunt was back on a multi-year deal, then I would agree, hey, they're just kicking the can down the road. All three of those players likely gone after this next year.
Yeah.
Again.
But I guess, you know, and like, and at the very least, you get to, this is like a 1 foot in, 1 foot out, I think, is the argument people don't like. You know, where it's like, well, you know, like, I'm trying to still be good this year, but also like make my plans for next year. Sometimes you can get into a problem here, but like the Chiefs are just so consistently good as a franchise.
They're not trading away three picks to go get, like, this isn't the Rams. This isn't the Rams trading away
$7 million for a defensive end. If your argument is like, and this happens too, hey, I want to play the young guys. I'd rather just play Felix the entire year instead of a Minshew, so I can find out if he's any good. Gold to your point, right? Of like, let's rebuild. Let's find out if Connor's good. Hicks is good. Cook's good. Let's find out all these guys and let's just put them on the field together. And let's find out if any of them can hack it as a starting linebacker, right? Or as a starting safety or corner. And let's just throw them to the wolves and see where the year takes us. They're always so close to a Super Bowl. It is really hard to tear down. And they're not tearing down like where they're stuck in like the Steelers method where you've complained, Gold, where like you're 9-8 and you're going nowhere. 15-2. The text line says, I don't like when I say 15-1. That's fine. 15-I get it. It's not technically their record. I always just think of that last game as being kind of a joke.
Yeah.
15-2, based on where they were last year. They're not really in tear down territory from a wins or where they're going. They've attended four of the last five. Yeah, they go five from the last six Super Bowls. Should they be tearing anything down?
They go from 15 wins. Maybe they're a 12-win team this year. That's not a
That's not worthy of a tear down.
No. No, that's kind of where they're at. All right, let's get a quick update in before
score update.
We get to the random question of the day. Let's get with a game we haven't talked about. Iowa State underway about 7 minutes into the first half. 3-seed Iowa State and 14-seed Lipscomb. It's a 11-10 early Cyclone lead. 14:40 to go in the second half. It is a 49-41 Baylor lead over the 8-seed Mississippi State. Not good for the show bet. Fade the show. Fade the show. Halftime, 2-seed Alabama up 40-36 on Robert Morris, the 15-seed, hanging around so far.
That missed dunk looked like when you missed the dunk in NBA Jam. Did you see that?
No.
Did you see how far back the ball went? He missed the dunk and hit the back iron and went all the way three quarters of the way back to the other end line. I guess at least very interesting that Alabama and Robert Morris are keeping it close. 40-36 at halftime over there on True TV. 4-point game for a 15-seed. You're keeping your hopes alive. That's all that matters. About 15 minutes away, like you mentioned, from Memphis and Colorado State. One of the more interesting games of the day because Colorado State, the 12 seed, is actually a betting favorite in that game.
Oh, Baylor. Baylor.
Let's go Lipscomb, boys.
10-point lead. Lipscomb tied it up with Iowa State.
The Bisons.
Did you pick them?
I picked Lipscomb to beat Iowa State, yes.
In your bracket?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Wow.
Keep an eye on that one. It's earlier. That's a little scoreboard update, but we need Mississippi State to get going, man.
Was Kansas and Arkansas the best game of the tournament so far?
The best first half. Best game? It's up there? Yeah. I think the only other candidate would have been Michigan, UC San Diego last night.
That ended up that one looked like it was going to get away from
that's
UC.
The
so
only,
it
did. That's the only one that right now would give it his front run for their money. But the first half's not even close. Arkansas, Kansas was the best. But we'll see what's in store today. That's what's fun is like we could do this all over again today. And, you know, there'll be some upset. There'll be some other finish as Lipscomb just took a 1-point lead over Iowa State.
We'll get to the random question today in just a second. I did see like the text that said, hey, Patrick Mahomes was a round one who needed a development. One, yes, quarterback, I'd say it's a little bit different. Two, I don't think he did. So I'm just going to like I've said this from the very beginning. And so like this is just the difference in opinion on that because I can never prove me right. And nobody else could ever prove me wrong. If Patrick Mahomes had started day one in the NFL, he'd have been a superstar immediately. He'd have been fine. It's been my long stance. So, like, I get it.
I don't know if he would have won MVP his rookie season, but he would have been fine.
I think he would have been one of the five best quarterbacks in the league immediately.
Could he have had the rookie season that we just saw CJ Stroud and Jaden Daniels doing back-to-back years? I'm with you. Yes.
Absolutely.
Again, not an MVP year, but easily of like rookie of the year, just best rookie season. Yeah, I think so.
Development at quarterback is also a little bit different than pretty much any other position. All right, let's get to it, Drew.
Random question.
The random question today brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Results every week. Then receive free support for life online at awaken180weightloss.com. It's going pretty bad in the Baylor game for us. We'll get to that in a minute. Let's take our mind off and get a little random question going for you. Gold for you, Drew. On the text line, 913-586-7965. And, of course, on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook. Live stream the show 4 hours every day. Lots of people chatting over there as well. So come join us on that side. Question I have for you today, what's happening in South Florida?
All right.
So in South Florida, they got a DMV problem.
All right.
And getting in the DMV, getting the things you need taken care of the DMV, has become big business. Remember maybe like a year ago, we were talking about these people who were buying up all the tee times and then selling them for additional money. Well, in South Florida, what has started taking place is these people are booking the DMV times and then selling them to needy people trying to get into the Department of Motor Vehicles. So the question I have for you is
illegal.
If you needed to get a spot in Florida, nothing's illegal. If you needed to get your spot, Drew, your license expires tomorrow.
Yeah.
What's the dollar amount you're willing to pay in order to get your spot in the DMV? Is there a number or you just, you're riding dirty?
I am not.
I'm riding dirty. I'm going to another. Yeah. If I can, I'm going to another bureau.
I'm not being held hostage by random Floridian that wants to buy up appointment times at DMV. This is illegal. Screw this. No.
I mean, they're letting him get away with it.
Yeah. No. Nope. I'm out.
This is way worse than the golf thing, too, because...
Yes, this is something people have to have done
if
they have a vehicle. Yeah. It's like also, it's messing with a government agency versus a private golf course, completely different. This is a government agency, a government-run office, DMV, that people are reserving times so the normal person in that jurisdiction can't go and renew their tags or whatever. That's ridiculous.
Tell me I'm going to have to pay $150 to get a
These
spot, and then I'm going to have to pay
$250.
That's crazy.
No.
I mean, you'd have to need it. You know, like you're in a desperate spot.
Like your license has been expired before. Well, you're on the brink of having
it. You'd probably risk it, you know? Like for like a license suspended a week or two, or not suspended, but like expired for a week or two, I'd probably risk it and explain to the cop, like, dude. They're trying to make me pay $250 to update this thing. What do you want me to do?
Yeah, I think that...
What's a guy to do here?
I think the state of Florida needs to get a new system where you have to sign in with sign in with your driver's license to book the time.
Oh.
So then it's then you're locked in based off your driver's license number. They got to link the systems together.
You mean like upload a picture or something?
No. So you type in...
You type in your driver's license number. That way we know it's you.
You type Kansas.
K-02-whatever.
And
what do you do if you don't have a driver's license yet? You're like 15. What's the rule? Their permit.
Well, then you're gonna have to select permit appointment time or something and see, and if that, you know, see what happens. But from the normal renewal, yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, someone's like, yeah, I'm just rolling dirty. Like, life is life. I'm not paying $250 for a spot. I do think that there'd be a level of desperation depending on the thing. Because I don't know how, like, everyone handles it a little bit different, but like,
someone says the DMVs are privately run. No, it's a state-run agency. What are you talking about? Maybe in other states it's different. In Kansas, it is a state-run agency.
Florida's the wild
I don't know if it's different in Missouri. You can speak to Missouri, Cody. I know in Kansas, it's state-run.
I don't know. But I'll just be honest, I've never looked into that.
I mean, there's some cities are city-run DMVs. Like, so I don't think they're private in every state. Who knows? But anyway.
Yeah.
Someone says it's not like they're selling hospital bed slots. Well, we're not far off.
I was going to say,
not far off.
This is like a necessity. I got to get my car license, or I got to get my license renewed, or like I got to pay my property taxes so I don't haul my ass off to jail. That would be worse if I was just booking up all the urgent care spots.
There's
just
no
some
way
guy with half his finger off, like, listen, pal, $50 and you can have the 10-10 slot.
No, there's no way that ever happens. If it does, then we are
there's
doomed.
Enough problems with the healthcare system where things are not being allowed to happen and decline in coverage, etc.
Have you guys ever done this? I have done this before where I was like,
someone says it's private in Missouri. Okay, there you go.
Waiting on a table like at a restaurant, and then we ended up like going somewhere else, and they were calling your name as you were leaving. Like, you know, you had like a spot and you were gonna do it, but like they ended up calling your name for like a bar seat or whatever, and I've just been like, hey, just say your name is my name, it's fine, you can have it. I've done that.
Yeah,
that's like, you know, like an easy courtesy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's about the extent of I mean, it's hard to pay for a spot in a line, although I don't know, you guys pay for like fast passes or anything if you go to like a theme park?
Yeah, I think at Disney World you have to.
I've never been to Disney World.
Someone says the actual license offices in Missouri are private. In Kansas, they're all state run. I don't know about Florida, but that should be illegal to from be the able to steal basically spots from people on the appointment times.
From the 620, Cody, this is just being late. There's no excuse for not getting your license renewed in time. Okay, look, as a person, that's never been an issue for me. I get it. I get it renewed in plenty of time. I don't like, for the same reason, right? Like, it would make me feel really uncomfortable to operate in that margin. So, like, for me personally, fine. But people operate differently, and choosing the last day to renew your license is not technically wrong. The license is not expired. I would never operate that way. You don't operate that. It would make me, like, I'd feel uncomfortable or borderline insane if I was stuck up against the wall like that. But, like, for some people, they don't, like, you know, their brains operate different. They're not bothered by this. They're not pushed until they have a deadline sometimes if you got like ADHD.
But if they're, if they're buying up, or if they're, you know, if they're taking slots anyway, for you, whether you're on time or not, it's still going to be a problem. It's the, even if you wait to the last day, if they're buying up all the slots, you have to buy the slot anyway, is what you're telling me from this story in Florida. Yeah.
I mean, at least then you can get it done in time, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. Someone says,
Network of scalpers is what they called them, by the way.
Yeah.
Network. Yeah. So they just got all these people. We thought the shoe game was bad. Botch just like, so you can't get like a fresh pair of Jordans. No, you can't even get your spot at the DMV in Florida.
You buying a fast pass is actually getting, you're enhancing your experience by being able to do more in less time, where if you were to pay for a fast pass at the DMV, you're not enhancing your experience. You're only getting to the inevitable money that you owe, which is the same regardless of whether you use the fast pass or not later.
Private office or public office for DMV, depending on your state, no matter what it is, I think it should be against the law for something that is, you know, like we're,
it sounds
we're,
like it might be against the law based on this Florida one, but that they're having a hard time getting the culprit so far. And it's a tough thing to know someone's doing it because like it takes 2 hours to get through on the phone to the DMV.
I guess said. I just, whether we're talking about voting, whether we're talking about, renewing your license or paying your motor vehicle tag, there should not be people allowed to prevent you from accessing that by charging you. That sounds illegal to me.
Yeah, it does. I feel like for anything that is like a necessity, like the same thing, it's like the doctor's office. I shouldn't be able to just like roll in there with $1,000 and be like, I'd like to be first, please. Mm-hmm. I'd like to buy my way to the front of this line. Sorry, gunshot victim. My arm hurts and I'd like through. Like there's just some places that shouldn't work based on a bribery or like check-in system, you know? Like I feel like there's some things that have got to be need-based in some, you know, some facet, I guess. It's crazy. Crazy. Someone's driving Missouri. I don't think anybody renews their plates.
I saw the most extreme version of this. Was it a week ago? I almost took a photo.
It's actually like a countrywide thing.
I almost took a photo of this. It was so egregious that it was almost funny. Somebody, I was on the Kansas side, but it was a Missouri temporary tag on a vehicle. It looked like a used vehicle. It clearly wasn't a brand new vehicle. It was a used vehicle. I kid you guys not. The tag was from November of 2023. They had a temporary tag from November 2023. Okay. How is that possible? How have they not gotten pulled over at some point and stopped in more than just a warning? I don't know.
That's impressive. I'm not even upset. I'm kind of impressed. They've been
like, I was wondering, is it a fake? I was like, is this a fake temporary tag? But if you were putting you're not going to put an old one. I don't know,
man. That's impressively late. I'm not even 2 years.
Like during COVID, I understand people because it was different. They allowed people to get behind on it.
What happened is like it continued for that. Yeah. Well, they weren't prosecuting it essentially, right? Yeah. They were just like allowing it.
Now, look, I understand there's bigger fish to fry than someone's tags being renewed, but still, we're
I don't care if a cop ever pulls someone over for it. It's still a property tax thing, right?
It is still taxes and money that goes to supposed to be for good reasons, right? So anyway, that's our government talk today.
Local government talk, finding out whether or not the DMVs in Kansas and Missouri are private.
Someone says at their job, there's somebody with a 2019 tag.
No way.
2019? No way.
Is
no
it a
way? 2019. When you pull,
six years ago.
Like, do you know? Like, has this person just like they know, right? They know they're supposed to be doing this. Oh man.
Someone says, man, people have seen all kinds of late ones. Now I wanted just a picture anytime you see one.
Temp from 2020, 2019.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, they are all over. A delivery driver the other day, someone said it was 2020.
The last time I went to the DMV, it took 3 hours. I wanted to die.
3 hours, really?
Yes. So why you hop in line in a? Is when you get in line early.
That DMV, the one by my house, that's not a. You couldn't get a. You have to be physically. They have to be able to like essentially geo-track you in the space.
Why are they different? Why are DMVs different? Just why can't everyone have like
state-run or private? Yeah, or
each state has their own system,
and each DMV has their own rules and all this other stuff.
The reason why each state has different driving tests, like the test, you know, the driving handbook and test in Kansas is different than the one in Missouri or Texas.
It was like a psychological study of who was going to break. Like slowly, every 30 minutes, one person would say like, "I'm out." I'll come back. Like, I'm out of here. I'm not waiting anymore. Just one person slowly building off. If I didn't have, like, somewhere to... If I had somewhere to be, I would have had to quit. I'd have just give up.
All right, up next, guys. We'll get to a fan club Friday. We'll check in on some of these tournament scores. We'll work in a snitch line. I think we're expected to have Dana Wright stop by and maybe Rob or C-Dot as well. Coming up next.